Hello and welcome to Boring Beige Box, the weekly podcast about retro computing. I'm your host, Matt Wilson. If you like to hack away at your autoexec.bat or config.sys files just so you can play King's Quest or Ultima, you're at the right place. From 2400 baud modems to IBM PS1s, to Monkey Island 2, to the Sierra Network, we cover it all if it happened in the 80s and 90s. So clean out that garage, pull out that old boring beige box, and let's have some fun. Hello and welcome to show number 13 for August 12th, 2006. Today's topic, the 25th anniversary of the IBM PC. Welcome. Glad you could join me today. It is the 25th anniversary of the IBM PC. Exactly today, 25 years ago, IBM announced that they were going to produce a personal computer. And it is the IBM 5150, if you remember that. It was a ways back, a little bit before my time. But it was definitely a big deal. It started everything. It was the first boring beige box. In my mind. I mean, it was the beginning of the whole IBM PC era, which started everything, which started the clones, and pretty much every way that I got involved into computing was through these, which was really started with the IBM PC. So they celebrate it today. Today is the day, the 25th anniversary. There's lots of articles online. If you go to Google and just search 25th anniversary of the IBM PC, you'll see all kinds of articles. There's one on PC World. There's BBC News. There's lots of great old photos from the early days. There's an article on DigiBarn. The DigiBarn is a computer museum. You can go to that, digibarn.com, and check that out. There's a lot of information out there. I never used any of the 5150 models or any of the models after that. Really, I've got involved once they started implementing the 386 machines. But if you, if you look back and read about the IBM personal computer, it was a big deal. I mean, it was a time when pretty much IBM, which was famous for, its mainframe computers, they said, hey, we're going to create a team, we're going to send them down to Boca Raton, Florida, and we're going to just put them away and let them just come up with something. So it was very different from the bureaucratic methods of IBM. They basically said, whatever you need, whatever the expense, you've got to, whatever amount of money you need, basically, no expense spared, create this personal computer that businesses can use, not just the home market. That was the whole idea, was to get the PC on every desktop in the office. And IBM, with its Model 5150, accomplished that. I mean, when IBM had its label on a computer, then everyone thought, oh, it's got to be good. If IBM does it, then it's professional, or it's business oriented. And a lot of the home computers just were not looked at by business owners to be professional. And even the Apple IIs were somewhat could do some of those tasks, but they were still considered more of the home market or the educational market. But once IBM began to release these PCs, they sold thousands and thousands of them. I mean, it was nuts. I mean, it really began the PC revolution. So, because of that, we have what we have today. We have desktops, laptops, we have all types of computers, and IBM was the one that really, really brought the PC into the forefront. So that being said, check it out. There's lots of great information online about the 25th anniversary of the PC. Definitely read through. There's a lot of books about those early days. If you go through and look at some of your computer history and look online, there's some books about the early days of the IBM PC and how it came about. Obviously, you know some of the old story. If you don't know it, it's pretty interesting. The PC or the IBM PC needed a disk operating system. So IBM went to, first they went to Gary Kildall, who created CPM operating system, and they were basically not interested. They got in touch with Bill Gates, and he said that he had DOS, but he didn't. He actually got a version from someone in Seattle, and he created his own version of DOS, based on that, and sold it to IBM. And as you know, that marriage of IBM and Microsoft catapulted Microsoft in the computer market. They had the DOS operating system, MS-DOS, with the IBM. And, you know, that was the great marriage of the two. You know, you've got the hardware, you've got the computer, and you've got the DOS software. So part of today, I want to also talk about DOS. And I think that really coincides with the anniversary of the PC. DOS is where we all lived. Now I'm gonna switch over this part of the show and talk about DOS, the 25th anniversary. Like I said, check it out. But let's move into talking about DOS, and I'll give you a little bit of history of my experience and the joys of DOS. DOS has always been looked at as the, you know, the very easy or basic operating system. Now, that's if you get into your hardcore world of computer geeks and stuff. I mean, obviously Linux and Unix is much more complicated and complex, and it's a lot more difficult to use and a steeper learning curve, but the power of it is incredible. DOS, I feel, is pretty simple. Most people think that most people today, if they use Windows, they don't have... The younger generation doesn't have experience with DOS, but to me, DOS, you know, came very easy. When I got my first computer back in '92, it was a 386, and my experience with DOS was pretty crazy. When I bought the computer, it didn't come with any software. There was no DOS that came with it. So at the time, DOS 5.0 was out, and I needed to get a copy of the software. So at the time, there were not a lot of computers. There were no IBM really computers in or IBM PC compatible computers at my school. It was all Macs or Apples. So there was no way for me to really get the software from school or something like that. So I had to go out and buy the software. It was really nuts, because what happened was I had to pay full price for the software. It was like $89, and I got it on 5 1/4 floppies. The computer store, where I grew up in Myrtle Beach, there were very few computer stores in town, and this one computer store, they had DOS, and it was just on 5 1/4 floppies. And the only way for me to get my computer, which I just got in the mail, which I waited a week or two to get it up and running, I had to have a version of DOS. And the only other way I could get it is if I'd have to order it through mail order, and that would take a couple days at least to get it. So they had a copy, and I reluctantly took the 5 1/4 floppy version. I had both 3.5 and 5 1/4 floppy, but I bought the 5 1/4. And took it home, and I believe something was wrong with the disks. I couldn't get the disks to work or something. So I took it back, and they copied it for me onto 3.5-inch floppies. So I took that home, and when I booted up off of the first floppy disk, it began to run DOS off of the floppy. And instead of installing itself, going through the installation wizard to install it to the hard drive. And I just merrily went along my way and put in the date and the time of the system and all this stuff and was running it off of the floppy. Well, I finally figured out, you know, I think a week or so later that's not how you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to install it. So I think I finally got the right version and it worked. But anyway, I actually videotaped myself doing that. So I have video from, you know, 15 years ago, or So let's see, how long ago was that? 14 years ago. 14 years ago, I have video of myself, like, installing or trying to get DOS running and running it off the disk, and just I just was a total noob at the time, and it took a lot of patience and a lot of learning to figure out DOS. So, but then it became easy. I mean, I really felt that it was easy. I had it came with a huge manual. You know, all the software still came in enormous boxes, and the manual was just a mammoth piece of material. I mean, it was huge. DOS 5.0, and I anytime at home, I always had it with me. I was always reading it, learning the commands. And at the time, it was very cryptic. There were a lot of commands I didn't understand or how do these work. But that was it. There was no Windows. I got Windows 3.1 later on, maybe a year later or a couple months later. But it was DOS all the way. And the first two games I got, I had Monkey Island 2 and Ultima 7. And once I got DOS installed, I installed the games all through DOS, ran them through DOS. You know, I tweaked the autoexec.bat file and the config.sys file meticulously, you know, constantly going through. I think that what I do today professionally with server administration, network administration, desktop support, stuff like that, I have learned trial and error and the ability to solve problems and you know, use certain problem solving skills to get the answer to something by what I did when I was young. You know, in DOS, trying to run games, you're always, you know, tweaking those files and working with memory management to try to get those games to run. And just by doing that over and over and over, you learn how to like test things and run test scenarios and run tests and trial and error. That's all it is. And that's what computing is all about. You know, having a problem, wanting to do something with a computer, and constantly working at it until you figure it out. And I think any successful person in the computer industry, especially a technical person, it's all about keeping at it and not giving up on the problem. And that's all you think about when you go to bed at night, or when you're eating, or you're anything you're doing, you're thinking about that problem. How am I going to resolve that problem? And you know, that's what I do. And it started way back in the day with DOS. And I'm sure for most people, if you're like an engineer type person or technical person, it started even when you were young. I remember when I was, you know, 7, 8 years old, I had a ColecoVision, taking it apart and having the circuit board on a towel, and I just wanted to take the case off and just play it and see the parts and how they looked when I played the game. I mean, nothing was happening, but just to see the circuit board and to see the plugs and see how everything was wired, I just enjoyed seeing it like that. And I was able to get it back together. But, you know, just taking stuff apart and trying to get it back together again, or solving a problem, trying to do something, was always a passion of mine. So anyway, so that was my experience with DOS. And through the years, you know, some of the great things I liked about DOS, especially in the beginning before Windows became real popular, is that, you know, you could do a lot with it as far as file management. And it's really weird now when we think about, and this is really weird, I'm thinking about this just now, you know, DOS, you couldn't multitask. You could not have multiple programs running at the same time. It was just one program at a time. And in Windows, it's, you know, that multitasking environment, it's you're so much more productive. You can do so much more. Whereas DOS, it's just one program at a time. And I think that, you know, we've gone beyond that that single task environment so greatly. I mean, now people, you know, are having multiple screens, and you know, now you can do virtualization and have multiple operating systems running at once. I mean, it's such a faster paced world today than back in the day when it was just DOS. So some other things I remember, I really enjoyed using the DOS shell. If you remember that, you could type in DOSSHELL, and it would come up to like a Windows-like interface where it looked like the Explorer, Windows Explorer. And you could manage your files real easy and stuff and create directories and copy files. And some of the great things I remember about DOS was, I remember when I finally did get Windows, I just copied all of the Windows files onto 7 floppy disks, and then just created a directory in DOS on my machine at home, just created a Windows directory, and then copied all, copy star dot star to /Windows, and every single one of those disks, I copied it over, and I had Windows, and it ran. It was just a program running on top of DOS. So being able to do that, I thought was great. You don't have to deal with the registry or the way a program is installed. You just ran it. You just ran the executable, and it had files that it needed, and that was it. It just ran from the DOS prompt, and it was extremely easy. All the games, it was tough sometimes getting the different files to work, like the autoexec.bat and the config.sys file. Getting those tweaked and working with games was a pain, but once you understood it and you got it working, I mean, games just ran like clockwork. They were fast. I mean, it just worked. And nowadays, games are great. There's a lot of great games out there, and you pretty much just install them and they run, but most games nowadays, you have to have a really good system to run it. And even back then you had to have a good system, but I ran games on my 386 and they ran fine that were the latest games, and at the time the 486 was out. So it was a little bit different back then. DOS is where everyone lived. So nowadays, DOS is still around. It's really not used a whole lot. I mean, there's a lot of command line stuff that you can do if you're a systems administrator. It's very, very helpful. So it's still good to know DOS. There's a couple different things out. FreeDOS is an open source project that pretty much emulates or is exactly like DOS. There's a couple different there's some programs that use that. I know that Norton Ghost, I don't know if it does or not, but may use FreeDOS. There's a lot of programs that are, like if you use a boot disk to boot into just a single program instead of going into Windows, a lot of them use FreeDOS. The great program that I've talked about before, which is called DOSBox, for playing old school games is the best. I love it. DOSBox is the greatest project that I've seen in a long time. If you look at, I'm looking at it right now, if you go to Wikipedia and type in DOSBox, there's all kinds of information about it. The official website is DOSBox.sourceforge.net, and I think you can just go to DOSBox.com and it'll come up. But definitely check that out. I know I've talked about that before in the past, but it is a great program. If you want to get some old school computing or old school computer gaming, definitely check out DOSBox. Well, that about does it. This is a short show this week. I just wanted to acknowledge the 25th anniversary of the PC, and just wanted to talk about DOS a little bit and some of my experiences. If you have any memories or experiences of DOS, just check out our website, www.boringbeigebox.com, and just click on forums at the top. Or you can directly go to forums.boringbeigebox.com. And if you don't have an account, register for an account and check it out and post about your experiences with DOS. If you were able to use it in business when you were younger, or if you used it when you were just a kid playing games, just talk about DOS and your experiences with it. All right, well, that does it, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in this week, and I will talk to you next week. Take care. Have a great week.